Du lytter til Solveig Spesa-musikk, Radio Rakel FM 99,3. We're going to speak in English today, men først vil jeg gjerne reklamere for at vi har en fest, en Spesa-fest, den 7. desember. Klokka var det 18 eller 19 på Mir. Finns på Facebook og også hvis man bare googler på nettet. Spesa-fest, det blir kjempegøy. Det helt gratis. Hele Oslo og hele verden velkommen. Det blir DJ. Vi får både DJ Tropicano som Arne Berg fra Jungeltelegrafen og som har vært en av mine spesielle gjester tidligere. Vi får også DJ Guse som min tekniker Gustav. Han skal DJ litt. Yeah. En jeger her. Vi får et litt musikalsk innslag med Lisa Canelinha som og som også har vært spesielle gjest her og hun spiller det Nicky og Niame. Vi får Dragon Dance med Gunnhildur Mjelde. Vi får en slags queer kamasutra-sjakk, som ikke så ille som det høres ut som, men veldig gøy, og en slags inspirerende episode. Og resten bare øldrikking og party till you drop. Så kom på det. Så det vært nok reklame. So now back to today's topic, which is actually exercising and music. And exercising music. And to start off with some of the background of this is that I had a nuclear astrophysicist in another episode, which has not been aired yet, and it's not published yet, but it's going to come out soon, and her name is Ann-Cecilia Larsen, and she has said that she thinks better, she works better, she clears her mind, and she actually has been working on some really high-end research applications, and she has achieved huge amounts of money in research funding, and she performs so much better when she listens to heavy metal music and when she goes for long runs outdoors. So I wanted to find out why this is, and as usual, I have some really, really cool people that I could ask about this. And so I'm going to present some guests here. And the first one, Kayla Burnham, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're a bioengineer, and we'll leave it at that for now. We're going to talk much more about that. Then we have Henrik Herrebrøden. Is that how you say your name?
That was very good.
Yeah, great. I usually have to say much more difficult names than that, but yeah, great. And you're a sports psychologist. How cool is that? And then later on, we'll also be joined by Pernille. I forgot to look up her family name. I think it's Thorvaldsen or something. I'm going to go through that again. Apologies. And she's a Les Mills instructor at Fresh Fitness. And she is like a goddess when it comes to being a fitness instructor. So she will join us a little bit later because she's actually finishing just now and she's on her way from her class in Fresh Fitness. So, yeah. So I want to start out by asking you, Henrik, can you perhaps tell us a little bit about your research, which involves high-end professional rowers?
Yes, well, we started working with them 5-6 years ago, and we wanted to do something different, because in sports there's a lot of focus on explaining things with words. So we were like, what if we perhaps used a little bit more nonverbal information, maybe some sounds? And in time, maybe use music. And we've actually come up with different soundtracks and even some music that rowers listen to while they row. And we're looking into how that affects their rhythm, performance, and also what they think and how this can be of any use to their quest for Olympic medals.
Ooh, that's very exciting. And we're going to hear some parts of a track that has been specially constructed, built for the ultimate performance. Mm. So that's great. And maybe, Kayla, you can talk a little bit about how you have been, what's your experience with music as a bioengineer?
So my background is in bioengineering, and previous to moving to Norway, I worked in a clinical gait lab. So we did a lot of walking as well as research in sports biomechanics. So a lot of it had to do with kind of temporal spatial variables as to how people move, as well as that audio component that is used in like return to sport or other kind of injury recovery. And now I'm an engineer in a the same lab that Henrik is getting his PhD in, and we integrate sound with motion capture and a few other biomechanic technologies. So it all kind of gets a bit amplified in this world.
So it's a, did you say it's a gait lab, as in like where people learn to walk again?
Yeah, some of it is a rehab from injuries or from like disease like stroke, but it was a children's lab. So some of it was how do we help kids be as mobile as they can when they become adults? So using different tools and different training techniques so that kids can have the best quality of life as possible.
Yeah. And music, I guess, since we, I mean, since we walk on two legs, that's one of the reasons we have a sense of rhythm. And is that perhaps why you use music that has a pulse for letting people walk, for instance?
Yeah, so first first starts with kind of a metronomic idea when you think of a disease like Parkinson's, where you have that lack of almost irregular movement and control. You can actually watch people when a metronome is played and that beat comes. You can watch them walk to a beat, and that can evolve into music. But a lot of times you'll use that as somebody having something to concentrate with or have something to follow with their brain so they can have their body act as normally as it can.
Ah, I'd like to hear more about that. But let's go a little bit back to the rowing. So what are the elements or characteristics needed in music that would make people perform better as rowers, and how much of it is specific to rowing and what is could be more like general to any kind of physical activity?
Whoa, that's such an exciting question, because that could be so many things.
Okay.
I mean, you can add so much information in music. Mm-hmm. You can have qualitative information, like, you know, that feeling, like a song has a certain feel to it. Mm-hmm. Athletes will say the same thing. They'll say, oh, there was that feeling when I did it perfectly. Or I could sort of feel my movement when I did well. And sometimes it's very hard to put all those things into words. Sometimes a music clip can be the thing that sort of summarizes, okay, when I listen to this music, I can sort of get that feel, I can get a sense of what I want to do. But you can also have like quantitative information in terms of, let's say, beats per minute. Mm-hmm. And that can dictate your tempo, perhaps not like a one-to-one, but it can be sort of like you make your own dance to a song with a certain beats per minute. So you can have both qualitative and quantitative information. And it's kind of like the fantasies, your only limitation here, I think.
Yeah, but okay. So, but if the fantasy is your only limitation, how do you go about that? Like when you have to make research, do you use your imagination? Do you just have to make guesses, or how is this done?
Well, I use my imagination also, but I mean, you will, I think, start with the activity and the context. Like, what do you want to do here? Mm-hmm. In our context, the context is rowing.
Yeah.
Okay, they want to win Olympic medals. They are different, so we need to look at each individual and also how they row together. And we want to see what do they want to accomplish? What do they want to get better at? And that's when we start to get into details like, okay, this timing, this acceleration in this part of the rowing cycle, this is what we can actually make sound to.
Yeah.
And that's what we've actually made sound to. It's to target these very specific things.
Oh, and I guess that rowing being a team sport and being a sport where you perhaps have to have, do you have to have exactly the same timing, like where you are with the oar and things like that, because then it's kind of makes sense that it's easier to get the precise timing if you have music in the background, right?
Yeah, that's actually been a debate. Some people thought it was better to not be perfectly synchronized, and some still think that might be better. But the latest thing I've seen is that, as a general idea, being synchronized is good. Mm-hmm. So music can help, but to be on the same strokes per minute, for example, still allows for individual variability in rhythm, how they breathe, how they do various things.
Oh, breathing is also part of it.
Huge part of it.
So how is that, like, to be specific?
Well, specifically, some people breathe one time per stroke cycle. Some people breathe twice. And they'll do it at different stages of the rowing cycle. And I think most of the guys I've talked to say that the breathing is a huge part of their individual rhythm.
Okay. So it could be an rowing cycle, just to understand, is that like one circle?
With, yeah.
Okay. And then they would be exhaling, for instance, when they are pushing or
yes.
something like that?
Yes. And if you just watch, for example, Olav Tufte or any of the big ones, when they row, you can actually see how they exhale.
Okay.
And you can get a sense of when they exhale, and that will be slightly different from person to person.
Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. Maybe we should listen a little bit to the music that has been designed by, I believe it's by a collaborator of yours.
Yes.
Who helped with producing the music, Jostein Olimstad.
Yes, that's correct. He's been developing several things and he's been making clips for several sports, including rowing.
And we can't listen to all of it because we don't know about the rights and everything. I mean, it includes also parts of AC/DC, and I don't have their phone number or so, but I think we can I hope that it's okay for AC/DC and all the other right holders that we quote it, and we will quote some different sections of it, and we'll have to talk with Gusa, who is running the audio, to agree on which ones. But I think that it's good to maybe zoom into first the beginning, where there is this kind of a metronome-ish beep. Why is that?
Well, that's a basic metronome for some basic timing in the rowing cycle. So we call it the dry phase when they pull, like when you build up speed. And then going back, you want to have a certain sequence of timing. Mm. So the metronome is actually very helpful for a rower so he can, he or she...
Oh, we'll hear it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's three beeps and uneven... Okay. So it shows parts of the rowing cycle with the ultimate timing. And it's been based on another rowing, like an example rower, right? Model rower.
Well, this one is a generic one we found online. We have developed some more specific ones that Jostein's made just for our team. And it's based on the same general idea that you have a drive phase. And when you go back, you want to go with your back before your legs. So if anyone wants to go on the ergometer in the gym, that's something to think of. Because at least on the water, that will make the boat go faster.
All right. Okay. And then what would be a useful next part to listen to? Okay, is this a part with AC/DC?
Yes, okay. So Jostein just read online and he read that Olav Tufte likes AC/DC. And he didn't know the guy, so he was like, let's put together something. And he made this sample of some AC/DC music. And you can also hear some rowing sound.
I didn't hear it now. Was it there?
I think so.
Okay, it was there. So, and it also fit with this, with a beep.
I think it's all fitting nicely together.
And the also, rowing sound, like the whooshy whooshy water sound.
Exactly. So when you listen to this, especially if you're a rower, you'll start to visualize. You'll start to imagine yourself out on the water. And that in itself can be good for performance, according to research, just imagining and visualizing as part of the preparation.
Okay. So this is for like dry training in the gym.
Could be.
And they could also use it maybe outside in the boat.
Yeah, it could be. This particular clip is made for like general listening, maybe just when you're on land, just sitting, listening.
Oh, really?
While the more specific one that he has made, Jostein, is more targeted for listening while you row. So this one was more of a general thing to motivate yourself while you're not rowing, I think.
Right.
I could hear there was some like some commentary.
Yeah, we need like to go to that
part. Sports commentary added up on top of the beeping and AC/DC.
Over the years, and he's adopted his style. Every 4 or 5 years, he changes the way he's sculling, and I think he's most effective now. He's not bouncing his boat so much. He's settling into a very good rhythm there, and he's just about moving into the lead.
Big, powerful man. Very good rhythm there.
Yeah, training by inspiration, right? Hearing that you're making it, you're managing it, you're winning. That's what do you think about that, Kayla? How important is motivation in all of this? Cheering people on.
Yeah, I like that. I think the mental part of it is really important too, because your brain is not isolated from your body. So I like that all of this is together.
Yeah, perfect. And also just this is, I mean, my questions are for both of you most of the time. So feel free to just interrupt each other and interrupt me. That's very fine. I'm thinking about, I mean, this is a very specific thing that's developed for rowers, right? So I'm thinking of we need to talk more about like the general way that music could make you perform better with when you're doing exercise. Oh, and here we have somebody who should also join this, because this is Pernilla. Is it Thorvaldsen?
Yes.
Sorry, I was gonna check it just before coming on air, and now I was just about to ask a question here, but I have to introduce you first, because I'm so happy that you could join us here live on air from Blitzhusa, because I had the greatest experience in your class a few months ago.
Thank you.
Because Pernille here is kind of a godlike fitness instructor, if I may say. So she teaches in... Fresh Fitness. I don't know, do you teach other places too?
No, just Fresh Fitness.
Yeah, teaches in Fresh Fitness and teaches this Les Mills scheme, which is kind of high intensity aerobic kind of training. You can probably correct me a little bit there.
Yeah, well, I teach a lot of classes or a few different programs. And one of them is a high-energy aerobic class, yes.
Yeah, so because I think the one that I was in was called Body Attack.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's great. I'm just going to say a little bit, because everybody should try to experience it, because I was there and it was so incredibly motivating. And we were like a group of people. I believe we had we were not all super fit. At least I am not super fit. And it was so much fun, and she was telling us to start the thing and to work harder and to stop the thing, and it was just like everybody was super motivated. So I thought that when I got the idea of making this broadcast, I definitely needed you on board because of your experience with motivating and leading very hard physical exercise, because it was incredibly hard to. Yeah. So what we were going to talk about now is actually how music can help people perform better.
Yeah, I heard a few bits when I got in.
Perfect. Okay. So that's the part we were coming to now, because we have been talking about how it's specific to rowing, which is Henrik's area. I mean, you also know everything around it, of course, but that's the specific scope of your PhD research. And Kayla is a bioengineer, as I've mentioned, and been working with sports rehabilitation. So,
cool.
Yeah. So what are your ideas, perhaps? I can ask you, Pernille, about how music can be helpful for people who are exercising.
Well, I think the music itself is really motivating, especially in the classes that I teach. Yeah. It's really high researched, the things that all the music that's used in every class provided by Les Mills. I think the directors, the people that makes the program, they choose like all of the programs as between 10 or 12 songs. And I read that they usually listen to around 80 to 100 tracks and then pick the ones that are the best. Mm. And it depends on what kind of exercise you're about to do. Like, are you, like in Body Attack, it's a really high energy class where you jump a lot, run a lot, and you have to keep a high tempo in everything that you do. So the music then has to have a high beat, like, now I totally missed the word,
BPM.
Yeah. And that can vary from in the warm-up around 120, which is kind of fast when you think about it, and all the way up to 190, which is really fast.
Yeah, super fast.
So it it keeps on track with a heartbeat. I overheard you listen to you talked about the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it's a help itself that, okay, this is a high beat and your mind automatically makes your body move faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also think that the track itself, like the lyrics, is it something that they say there? Maybe that can motivate people only by that.
Mm, yeah. So what are the, some of experiences that your students say, besides my own praise? Just
well, always when I receive the program, we get new releases every third month or something. I always listen to the music first and get my idea of how I feel when I listen to it. It's, okay, this does this give me like goosebumps? Do I like listening to it? Then I want to give my participants the same experience. So then I maybe not, maybe I will not talk that much, just give the music room to play by itself. Or is it any ups and downs in the music that I can use my voice to do the same thing? Like, okay, this is a hard part. It's a lot of beat, a lot of music, a lot of sound. Then I will maybe talk higher. Mm-hmm. Or if it's nothing, then I will say nothing because that part should be highlighted.
Yeah.
So, I think my participants also had told me that they like the music, but they have no choice. I have no choice. I kind of have to use it.
Yeah.
But I think that the people in my class, some of them, of course, comes for the exercise. And some people come for the whole experience. So I have to provide a lot of things in the class.
Cool. And I also just wanted to add a thank you to Les Mills because I've been in touch with them and they were happy to let us show some of the music on the radio. They were happy for me to play the whole tracks as well, but I think that it's much better to show some excerpts because you have sent me a whole list. If we go for the body attack part,
cool.
Maybe because we are talking about it, and maybe we can just hear a little bit about a little excerpt from each part.
Yeah, it would be cool to do like some kind of test.
Yeah,
if you just show a track and you guys can guess what kind of track this is.
Idea. Yes, that's a great idea.
That would be
idea.
Cool.
Okay, so then I cannot say which part it is. It has to be Guse, who just selects one, and then we can all guess. Get on up when you're down, baby. Take a good look around. I know it's not much, but it's okay. We'll keep on moving. Can I go first? I feel like it is playful. I feel like it's the aerobic part, which is number three. Do we have any more guesses?
Core, like conditioning, maybe.
Oh.
I'm not sure why I think that, but just guessing.
It's not that far away.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with mixed training, just to take something different.
Is this another? No, we have to hear what it is. What's the right
answer? Well, that's a warm up.
It's the warm-up.
Yeah, it's the warm-up track.
It's just the warm-up. Okay.
The warm-up track is always kind of loose.
Yeah.
To get a good feel and to just motivate people to, okay, let's start training. Now it's on.
Ah.
It's always some kind of lift-up lyrics or light kind of beat.
Yeah.
Not too heavy. Not we won't scare people away.
Yeah.
Even though it's called body attack. We don't want to make people go.
Yeah.
No sad themes in any of these songs?
Sometimes the cool down.
Okay. Like you're done. This is sad.
Okay, this is a funeral. No.
Let's have another example. Oh, what do you guys think?
Agility?
Stuck between interval or athletic strength?
Huh. I don't know, but it's definitely quite intense.
Yeah, it's the running track, which is kind of a warm up for the second part of the class. it's quite in the middle, and we use that track also to get people back on track after strength and after our cardio peak. So that one is, I will say, always a kind of lyric that we know, heavily remixed. We get the lyrics highlighted, so people know kind of which song it is, just to keep the mood up.
Great. Next. Wow. Was this one track or two different ones?
It was one track.
Yeah. Okay.
Same, just
okay.
Two different parts.
All right. Oh my God. Could that be agility? Because that was fast.
It was fast, yeah.
Or any other guesses?
Well, if it went slow to fast, that interval?
It's intervals in the track, but it's not the interval track. Yeah, but it's as you said, we go down, up, and down, and then up again.
I was thinking of Combat 1, because in the beginning it was slower, so it was room for some kicking, whatever, and then it...
That's a different class, the combat.
Oh, yeah, okay, so we're on the second one.
It's all under body attack.
If so, maybe power?
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Oh. Nice.
Is that the first correct guess that we have?
Yeah. Nice.
Well, 1 for 9.
That's the last the last cardio peak. So here you just bring it all. If you have some energy left, then this is where you put it.
That's the power one.
Yeah.
Okay. But all of it is super intense. I mean, I remember the whole hour was just very intense.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of the magic that Les Mills do, especially for body attack, since it's such an intense class, and the music is also really intense, at least some parts. As you listen to it, you can't just you will be tired. Sometimes when I practice, I just listen to it and I'll be like, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But I think that if you are joining the class and the movements and everything, you don't get tired from the music. And I think that's kind of cool the way they do that. And I think that tells a lot about Les Mills as a company. They have been doing workout classes for I don't know exactly when they started. I think it was late 80s. So they are the biggest company in the world that provides Les Mills group fitness classes. And they are done, I think it's in around 80 countries or something. And every program is the same. If you join my class, you can also go to China and join the same class with the same music.
Yeah.
So it has to fit a lot of people.
It's a McDonald's of training.
Yeah.
Except very healthy.
Yeah, that was good.
Great.
Or just like a rave. A rave company. I'm going to recommend all my raver friends to go to your classes.
Yeah, that would be cool.
We need one more example. Okay, before you say anything, I want to bring the listeners on board as well, because you're going to guess, is this number one? You can't answer it except inside your own head or in your own kitchen or wherever you are, but still, just, was this number one, warm-up, number two, mixed training, number three, aerobic, which is playful and fun cardio, number four, plyometric, which is, whatever, going to some kind of pulse top, five, athletic strength for the whole body, six, running, catching up again. 7 agility, which is kind of speed. Or was it interval with a high energy? Or was it power with another pulse top? Or was it core? Or was it cooldown? Naturally, these are too many options to remember. But still, can we hear a few seconds of it again? And then people can try to guess. Rad. I dare say it's not cooldown, right?
No, it's not cooldown.
that was easier to just like say one that it's not. So do we have any guesses here from the room?
Plyometric?
Yeah.
Plyometric. So what does plyometric mean?
Well, plyometric, we do a lot of jumps, like plyometric lunges, jumping lunges, and... in this release, we have also like long jumps and some running, but it's mostly like jumps and power to train the muscles as well as the cardio.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like it's very heavy beat, and maybe that really works for jumping because, I mean, you're working with gravity, right?
Yeah, and you want to get down, like in the lunges. You don't want to be on your toes. On that one, you really want to get down to the floor and push away from the floor.
Wow. Oh, I'm curious to hear what you guys think of this. I mean, from bioengineering and sports sciences, and because it's enough to say, of course, I mean, practically in daily life, it's enough to say I want something heavy so that I can jump and get into my thigh muscles or whatever. But what does it mean, like, more scientifically?
Well, I love the idea of how you combine the music with what you're saying, because this is what coaches do. They see their athletes or performer and they see what do they need, and you can combine different kinds of music with instructions. And I love that idea. And I think the motivating aspect here is huge, because you'll have a lot of people who want some kind of workout and you want to have a decent time, and that's actually hard. It's actually hard to do something physically hard and still have a decent time, because it can be dreadful when the pain and the acid and all that builds up in your workout. And I think this is something that can maybe take your mind off that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very creative and something that we can use in several contexts.
It's really cool to see people smile in the last part of the track that we just heard, because it's a really tough track. And people are like, ah, well, I'm kind of enjoying it. So they're smiling, but they also lay on the floor after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think having that mental almost bond with other people in the room as well as with the music, you then don't have people isolating and moving on their own, but they're almost creating like a team environment out of it, so they can focus on not just how their body is moving from like what it looks like, but as well as putting your forces into the right places. And that's a lot harder to do if you're watching a lot of people at the same time.
Yeah, so like group mentality and group motivation.
Yeah, yeah. And having the music be a member of the group as well and part of the team is a nice way to also take some of the load off your shoulders.
Yeah, we often talk about team teaching with the music.
Yeah.
So that you use the music as your partner as well as, well, I'm the coach and I'm telling people what to do. But I also like to tell people like we heard in the music, there's some lows and some ups and some downs. It's like, okay, what is the music telling you now? And what is it telling you now? Now we gear up because the music gears up.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, and is it also like, because, I mean, we have been talking about motivation and take your mind off like the acids building up in the muscles and everything, is almost like you're calling it kind of a painkiller or something that, or does it just, how does it work? Like, does it make you happy? Is that what's happening? Like, is playing a trick to your head, making you happy, and then you don't feel the bad feelings, and then you can perform better? Is that like how it works, or
It's like a mental difference. So it's instead of having 100% of your energy focused on how your body is moving, not just from like a angles, but just from where your forces are going in your body, is now your mental load is taken and focused on something else. Your body moves more naturally, and you get that what's muscle memory in the tasks that you've done before, and you actually then perform them more natural to you and better in that repetition standpoint. So if you've learned how to move correctly to begin with, you're doing that same thing over and over without thinking. And then it actually becomes perceived easier for you. I don't know if it's actually easier in exertion, but it's perceived mentally as easier for you.
Yeah.
I read that music is some kind of legal drug. Legal performing drug. So I don't know the content, but I think that line kind of stuck with me because I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. What does the psychologist say?
Well, the studies I've seen suggest that at least sub-max, so a little bit below absolute max, music can have some real benefits, like Hala said, perceived exertion, like how you perceive the activity, how you find it, seems to be better with music when you're not at the absolute max, because when you're at very, very max, you can't really take in anything, but you can't stay at max for even 10 minutes. So when you stay slightly below max, music can help you experience the whole thing as a little bit more lighthearted and easy to go through.
Okay. And do you hear other things in this music that you feel like it can help? Because we are kind of staying on like, okay, specifically rowing, specifically Les Mills, or Les Mills is broader, I guess, because you use a lot of muscle groups and a lot of things. But what is it exactly that makes the music help you with moving?
I think one thing is to go a little bit away from the internal.
Okay.
In research, there's a line of studies showing how external focus can help. So not only thinking of my muscles, my legs feel heavy, or I'm doing this with my knee, to move a little bit away from that and think, okay, where am I in the room? Yeah. Like you said, Pernille, push away from the floor. Mm-hmm. And also to have something outside of yourself to attend to.
Yeah.
I think external focus is a key word that I think music can sort of promote.
I feel like it really boosts me. Like it goes into the body. I don't feel like, okay, perhaps I'm going a little bit out of the body because I'm going out of the painful part, right? But I'm also getting into the body, but that's the more joyful part of like the beat actually feeding my muscles, making me able to work. That's how it feels, at least.
It's fun to move to the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, when you have a specific beat and your body's doing something on that beat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the part for me, especially when I do, well, we talked about plyometric lunges. Mm-hmm. So when I bam, 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 and I hit it every time, that's also a kind of a motivational thing that I want to reach the next beat.
Yeah. And of course, this also connects back to some other previous guests that I've had here, such as Ragnhild Torvanger Solberg and Agata Sjelkovska, and perhaps also Alexander Efsimiensenius. I've been discussing the part that goes with like entrainment and like getting like being on the beat together with people in the room and also with the music. So if anyone wants to recap on that a little bit, that's good. I'm not forcing anyone. People can also just refer back to the previous episodes because we have been talking quite a lot about rhythm. Nobody raised a hand and said, I'll do it. Okay. No, but it has been discussed in other episodes. So I'm happy that I by now have a catalog that I can refer back to and people can become wise by listening to Space Music. So that's really cool. And can we still have to solve this problem, or it's not a problem, but it's a question, a big question. Okay, so we have been speaking about how music can motivate us and make us train. But what's then the relationship to how we perform better mentally? Does it come from the train? Is it true, or does it only happen to Ann-Cecilia Larsen, who is a brilliant nuclear astrophysicist? But I've also heard it from other people. But like, how does the training make you perform better mentally, or is it the music that makes you perform better mentally, or is it some kind of a mysterious combination of the two? I'd like to hear all of your takes on this question.
Yeah, I can start. So I coached Ultimate Frisbee for about a decade and pretty high level national high school and college. And I used to make the kids sing together before they started sometimes as like a focal point. And as we're getting more and more aware of mental health and how that can affect athletes and on teams, getting that and using it as like a meditative almost exercise in a group mentality. Mm-hmm. It helped kind of pull the focus to each other, and they actually, non-statistics taken, played better after doing stuff like that. So there are different mental exercises you can do in like non-rhythmic settings that can help with music being additive, or different people having like warm-up songs and mm-hmm. things like that. So I think there's a whole group of different ways that music can help you perform, and there's not kind of a single way to test that.
Oh, okay.
So when we do research, we tend to be very intense in our focus. And a lot of people say you can actually solve problems when you take your mind away from the problem a little bit. Like I had a supervisor who was walking down the hallway all the time. I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm thinking better when I'm walking. Mm-hmm. So what I think is that if you go for a run, for example, and listen to music, you maybe zoom out a little bit and think about something else. And maybe the music does something to you, does something to your mood, make you think of different things. And maybe that can be sort of a distraction so that when you come back to the problem, you can see more clearly. Mm-hmm. If you don't, like I said, you can even come up with the problem when you're doing something else. So I think music is great for taking your mind off something as well.
Yeah. So still like getting out of your mind or getting out of your body or into your body, or it's like relocating some energies or whatever. Yeah. And Pernille, when you are not a fitness god, you are a teacher.
Yeah.
So I believe you probably have some ideas and experiences with this as well, with this question.
Some of my students, I teach second graders. No, not second graders. sixth graders. So yeah. They are 10 or 11 years old. Many of them like listen to music when they write, especially. And a colleague of mine, she does this when the kids have mathematics. So when they are solving math problems, they listen to music. But she says that don't listen to a track that you know. So like a song that you like, or a song that you want to sing along to, or that makes you think about the song.
Yeah.
But I also read that somewhere that music is activating some parts of your brain that makes you kind of relax. Mm. Relax. So you don't think about the thing that you are doing that much, but that you, so while don't thinking about what you're doing, you do it better, sort of something.
Yes.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
I think, again, the distraction, like to get away from the problem a little bit and to think about something else. And I've also seen some studies suggesting that this may depend a little bit on personality, at least when it comes to external stimuli in general. For example, people doing an IQ test with the TV on in the background. Mm. Extroverts, people who are more outgoing, talk more, they tend to handle that better than the introverts who likes quiet and don't talk as much and stuff. So I think it can depend a little bit on who you're working with as well.
They say that about group fitness as well, that extroverts tend to like that better, of course, since there are more people there, but also because of the music part and the doing things to a choreography.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's so interesting, yeah. And I think I also just another cross reference to an episode with Shari Erdem, which was sent last week, I think, and it's gonna come out as a podcast. When he also listens to music when he is writing his well, he was writing his thesis up until recently, and he would listen to music that has a lot of surprises. Like, no, it doesn't have like a steady beat or anything. I think he would listen to weird noise music that kept on surprising his brain. And I guess it kind of stimulated the work somehow. Don't quote me on it, but I think that might also be some kind of an aspect. Maybe it keeps us alert, and that could maybe activate some of our capabilities. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'd like to talk a little bit about the rehabilitation, Kayla. Can you explain a little bit more how you have used music in order to help, for instance, children and other patients?
So in children, most of the patients that I saw on a regular basis had something like cerebral palsy or spinal bifida or an amputation at a young age. So you would look at how their body would move from a temporal spatial. So how much time they were spending, if they're walking, for example, clearing their foot from the ground so that they could move it forward versus, one leg versus the other, if they had something that was different on their left versus their right. And so you'd look at that from a special that temporal mechanics and use those comparisons to help kind of see how much you needed to help with one side versus the other. And then in the sports injury perspective, you use actually a lot of sounds when you do dual task assessments, especially for, say, after a concussion. You'll see if somebody can, if they're hyper-focused on, I'm doing this physical activity, and then you add that audio component, those sounds, those tasks. Like, you did a bunch of math problems, too, for some of yours, where you'd have that kind of call and response to see, can they physically do it with their brain occupied, addition and subtraction?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's interesting to see how much you can still do, even though your mind is occupied with something.
What, like being rowing while you are doing math?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. So they'll do that after a concussion test to see if your brain can handle both the physical and mental capacity with it. So it is actually a lot of those dual tasks are seen not just in return to sport after an injury, but it's also seen as like a performance. Are you able to do something if you're not 100% focused on it? Mm. Especially because in the real world, there's not just a laboratory setting where you try to control all the stimuli that are coming in, so you're only focused on one variable. And in the real world, there's like birds and squirrels and, somebody talking on their cell phone walking into a pole, and you need to be able to perform normally with all of that stuff around.
Yeah. And is this mostly like in order to measure somebody's level of functionality, or could it also be used in order to train and become even better at what you're good at?
I don't know if I can concludely say like yes or no to both. There's still a lot of deep discussions ongoing. We know what really bad is. Uh-huh. We know how performing bad, what bad looks like, but we don't know what performing the best looks like, except for in results of like, are you the fastest and strongest? Uh-huh. So it's really hard to say, are you performing better if there's not the definition of best? From an engineer perspective, where we like to have concrete numbers. So you can say you performed less bad, but it's hard to say you were like the best at something. It is good to use sound as a way to say, are you still good at doing as good as you were doing before? Because then it means your body really knows what to do.
Mm. Right. What do you think, Henrik?
No, I think it's the same challenge in sports sometimes. In sports you can say, oh, he was the fastest to the finish line. Mm-hmm. But to say it was because of this or it was because of the sound, that's mm-hmm. very tricky. So it's very hard to conclude with anything. But I think that's the exciting part, is to explore why does music work and what can be the mechanisms.
I'm also wondering like how much of it is individual and how much actually is very, very general. I mean, like for Les Mills tends to work for a lot of people. In our tiny statistic here of five people, there was a quite high degree of head bobbing, right? In this and in the class as well. But there isn't anything that everybody likes. I know some people who would just be covering their ears to it, right? And also for the rowers, would it be like do you think that you would have one track that everybody would listen to and that would be good? Or would the final result be like an individual track to each one because one of them actually hated AC/DC or couldn't stand this legendary rower? Or, you know, how much works generally and how much needs to be absolutely individual because of taste?
Well, we actually tried this. We gave the rowers in our one study the same track to listen to, and they showed huge diversity in their response.
Mm-hmm.
Some were big fans of what we did, and some didn't like it so much, and their performance was also very different.
Mm.
But you can say certain things, and I believe that's why music works in exercise, team exercise, for example, is that you tend to see certain things on a group level as well. For example, the amount of exertion that you put in, as some general ideas are there. But if you want to work at, especially at the highest level in sport, you should always try to customize to the individual.
Right.
Yeah.
And then some of the things, they might like it because they're listening to it together, but they wouldn't necessarily choose to listen to it by themselves. Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
There's that group mentality, too. It's like if somebody else is smiling next to you, it's that contagious aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So and some things may work in a team. For example, in rowing, you'll have people with different rhythms individually,
mm-hmm.
but they can do great things when they come together. So maybe they'll listen to music or do something when they're in a team that you wouldn't necessarily do on your own.
Right. I see. I'd like to reverse the task we did a little bit. I mean, because Kayla has brought some exercise favorites, and they are big hits. I'm sure you have all heard them before. And then I'd like to see what kind of training we'd see go with that, possibly. So let's start with, should we start with hearing an excerpt of Gonna Make You Sweat from a cool part of that song, Whatever Goose It Chooses. And then we can talk about how it would work with exercising. Do you find it?
That song is so cool.
With the bass, pajamas live in effect, and I don't waste time on the mic with a dope rhyme. Jump to the rhythm, jump.
Right,
rhythm,
so we're gonna start with asking Pernilla, what kind of if you were just given this song, what kind of tasks would you give people?
Well, this track has actually been used in, I think, 3 different Les Mills programs.
Oh. Wow, spot on.
So I kind of already had a
yeah,
one in mind. It was used in a class called Les Mills Tone, and it was used for a kind of strength cardio track,
mm-hmm.
With a lot of different exercises that you did off the beat. I don't teach Les Mills Tone myself, but I joined the class, and it was a good track for both, in my opinion. That I think we did some long jumps and some push-ups, and just, okay, 30 seconds of that, 30 seconds of that.
Mm.
So kind of like a circuit kind of song. Right. And I think it works on many levels because you can go kind of fast with it. And you can also go kind of slow but still be on some kind of beat in the song.
Hmm. Interesting. And how about you, Henrik?
I see myself doing some strength, some power stuff here. Because it gives you that space between beats to improvise and... I think rap music works really well, but that's just basically out of my personal preference, though.
Yeah, that's sometimes like very empowering as well, just by using the voice, I guess, in that manner. I find that at least. And actually, Anne Cecilia Larsen was listening to one shot Eminem. That's the only one that was not a heavy metal song.
Lose Yourself.
Lose Yourself. I keep on saying the wrong. It's the second. This goes so good that you're correcting that because I made that mistake in Kjell Andreas Oddekalv's episode 2. I said the wrong title. But yeah, that's the song, Lose Yourself. And that was a one-shot application, and she got 5 years and huge funding. Anyway, that's not part of this this episode. And then what, Kayla, what kind of exercises would you do to this song? You are the one who wished for this song.
Stretching.
Ooh.
Stretching?
Yeah. That's very stretching. Different.
Yeah, it's
how,
like,
do you stretch?
No, like to warm up, like stretching warm-ups, like, like active stretching. So when you're doing like... that part of the warm-up where you're just getting your muscles loose before you actually get into a workout. Right. I think because it's just happy.
Yeah.
I definitely hear a warm-up song here.
Yeah, but like active warm-up.
It will get you in the mood,
yeah,
I think.
Let's have another example. So the next song on the list of Kayla's all-time favorite workout songs is Woomp. There it is.
Yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Woomp, that is Hitman.
Okay, I'll do the same again. What about, what do you think, Pernilla?
This one has also been used in some Les Mills classes.
Interesting.
But again, remix. Yeah. I have never heard the original one.
Oh.
So for the original, I would do strength. Definitely strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's quite heavy. It's not too fast. And
yeah, I can see myself do like heavy squats or chest presses or...
anything
like putting on heavy weights. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like whoomp. There's my bicep. No.
How about you, Henrik? What do you think?
For some reason, I think more running or some intervals, like, for example, jumping on boxes or stuff like that.
Would you run to the beat? It's a bit slow.
I could maybe fill in some breathing, make my own rhythm to it, not necessarily follow on, at least not on every
polyrhythmic
step.
Running.
Yeah, yeah, probably. And I've tried to run to songs sometimes, and I often find that it's easier if I don't follow every single beat.
Right.
But maybe try to hit every fourth or something like that. I'm not sure with this, but for some reason I kept imagining myself running.
Cool. And Kayla?
Yeah, I like this for lifting.
Okay. It's so cool. Well, it's very very individual as well. We have a few minutes left, and I want one more example from the list. It's Get Ready For This. Right. Pernille, what do you say?
I think I will be doing cardio, not running, but maybe cycling. Mm. Because you can really hit the pedals, like bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. And how about Henrik?
Well, I just got to say, all of these songs make me think of warm-up when I was a volleyball player. I used to play volleyball at the elite level here in Norway, and you usually have songs like this when you warm up.
Yeah.
And you'll get fired up right before the game. So
bouncy, jumpy.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself jumping to this. But also, I feel like the last one goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
You do all kinds of stuff.
What kind of training do you do to it, Kayla?
Yeah, usually like a cardio. But I'm a huge fan of Jock Jams, Volume 1 and 2. So these 90s exercise music probably gets resampled a lot with all of this. It just makes me happy.
And they just turned, 30 years old-ish, I guess, which maybe made them easier to clear for remixing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also sorts of pragmatic reasons for things too, right? Brilliant. So, do we have one? Maybe we can finish off by listening to a whole track from the Les Mills
program. How about the Cool Down song?
Cool Down.
Oh, that makes perfect sense because we haven't listened to it. And thank you so much. Just saying your names again. Henrik Kerbrøden and Kayla Burnham and Pernille Thorvaldsen. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you to Gusa, the great technician. I sent a kiss to everyone. Wow. Okay, that's great. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And here is Cool Down music. I would just fly, fly away.
Knew what could instead. So I had a dream and I just